The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.
Portions of the show may be previously recorded. Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is April Ogren from Round Rock, Texas. April, welcome to the show.
Great to hear you.
So I'm going to try to separate this interview into parts. And the first part is when you first bought some real estate, and I think at the time you might have been married even, and you had bought a couple houses, and what made you buy those? And then, okay, that changed. What happened then after that? And then where you're at right now. So let's start with the beginning. How did you get into your first real estate purchases? Were you married at the time, and what drove those purchases?
I was married at the time, and those first purchases were out of circumstances. The first house I bought was from my mother, who was moving closer to us, and she decided she didn't like living up here in the Austin area, so she moved out 3 months after, and so I stuck holding a townhome that was empty, and so we started renting it out. The second home we bought, we wanted to be down the coast, so we bought ourselves a little second vacation home, so that was our short-term rental scenario. So it wasn't with the mind of investing. It was just real estate we just happened to get because of interest or need at the time.
That's interesting. Where did your mother want to live, just out of curiosity? She didn't like Austin. Austin's a beautiful place.
Well, she was coming up from Houston. My father had passed, and I invited her to come to stay with us. And Austin's a confusing town to her. Our streets don't make sense. And so she was just not happy up here. And she had built a network down in Houston, and she lived in the Woodlands area. So she wanted to go back and be back by her friends. So
Woodlands is a beautiful area. Woodlands is a beautiful area, though. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Close-knit community. So, all right. So let's fast forward here. You got two rental houses. What were you doing at the time? Were you working? Was your husband? What was your husband doing? What were you doing?
I was a stay-at-home homeschooling mom at the time. My husband was working as an engineer. But then he had gone laid off, and he was unemployed for a long time. So we ended up using those assets to help sustain our lifestyle, or just, you know, basic living. So we ended up selling both of them for profit, fortunately. But we didn't have the same sense of how to make money. We just needed the urgent cash to get the equity out of those properties.
Gotcha. So how long after that was it that you ended up divorcing your husband?
6 years after, I think, since we liquidated the last property. So
okay.
I hadn't had any properties for 6 years before I joined Lifestyles.
Well, I'm going to bring this point up, and it's not so much as to be poignant for yourself, but it's something I wanted to bring up. When I first started Lifestyles, it was interesting that men wouldn't listen to me. And why was that? Well, because I was 35 years old, and they were 40 and 50 and 60, and they had great jobs and 401ks and, you know, careers. And I'm a 35-year-old guy going, I retired at 34 years of age, blah, blah, blah. By 36, 37, I was a multimillionaire. So they just said, nah. But women believed me. And I was able to take a lot of women and get them into real estate. It's interesting that when I was reading your resume here that you said that your husband wasn't that much into what you wanted to do. Share that with us.
Well, actually, I'll go back farther if you talk about men versus women. I wanted to buy real estate when I was in college. I wanted to get in a duplex and live on one side and, you know, have the other side earn me rent. My father discouraged me from buying a duplex in North Austin at the time in the, I'm not going to give my age, but anyway, early on before it was, real estate got ridiculous. And he said, you don't want to be a slumlord. You know, you didn't, you couldn't imagine me being a landlord and taking care of tenants. And so looking back, if I had bought that duplex, I mean, it increased in appreciation 400% and, you know, and would have paid for itself very easily and my college. But so that was my father's discouragement. And then my husband and I looked at the revitalization of downtown Austin, East Austin, and we looked at doing it, and we didn't have the skills. It's like, we're not handyman people. We didn't understand construction. The properties there were the typical distressed overwhelm, and so we didn't pursue it any further. And so when I brought it up again, he's like, no, we didn't see the numbers. He didn't want to lock up his money. He didn't think it was very liquid. And so, you know, it never went anywhere. But I continued listening to you on the radio. So.
Oh, really? Back then, even, huh?
Yeah. I knew about you for a very long time. One of my former coworkers had mentioned one of her posts that she had mailbox money. And I asked her, is this with this lifestyles group? And she said, oh, yeah. She's very proud of it. And I let that sit because I was still married. My husband wasn't interested in tying up the money in this form of investment. But after divorce and settling out our assets, I called up that friend again and said, hey, are you still doing real estate with lifestyles? Since I knew about your radio show, and says, oh, yeah, I've been real estate retired for a while. And so that's what got me back in.
Wow, that's beautiful. I remember so much. You know, I didn't work personally with you, but back when I was working personally with people, so many women were just, they were put on the back burner. Like, yeah. I've got a job. We got a 401k. We're going to be fine. Don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. And women wanted to get out there and make money. So it's interesting. There's a lot of women that are willing to do that. So when you went through your divorce, it says here that you were willing to sell your homestead to get some money, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had to divide the asset. I, you know, downsized from the big house to one that's more manageable for myself and my kids. And what was I going to do with my half of the proceeds? Because I was living in that house for 22 years, so it appreciated a lot. I didn't want to put it back in stocks. You know, I've watched my RRA portfolio over the years not appreciate very much. So I'm like, this is not the way to put my money in. And I didn't need the stress of once, you know, have markets fall. And so it was an opportunity not to have that other voice saying, no, you can't do this. And so I found it fortuitous to look at my friend, ask her if she was still part of it, and she got me involved very quickly.
Do you think that there's a lot of families out there where one or the other is holding the other one back?
Definitely. I mean, I've been to your seminars and you talk about, you know, an A personality, B personality. You know, A wants to jump in, B's cautious. Let me analyze it to death. And, yeah, we had that dynamic in our marriage. I'm A, he's B. Now I'm single, I'm both. So
you have to become both, don't you?
Yes, I have to become both. And, but, you know, it's good to have a soundboard to check to make sure that you're not making a rash decision, but it is very freeing not to have to check in with someone before I can make a decision.
Well, you know, I totally understand that. And I'm married now, but I went through that before with other previous marriages. And it's interesting when you're not on the same page. It really is. It's difficult. So let's talk about the beginning. You bought these other houses, and I think you sold them, didn't you? Both the other houses you had before?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Fortunately, like I said, my husband had been laid off, and so we were running through all our savings, and it came to a point, it's like, okay, we're going to run out of money to pay for our basic living, you know, get rid of these assets. The house in Port Aransas was fortunate. We sold it in November 2016, and Harvey came through in 2017. So that was very fortuitous.
Great timing, yeah. Great timing.
Great timing, yeah. And then the townhouse, we had a fantastic couple that had been there for 8 years, and but they couldn't buy it off of us.
April, let's go back and let's go to the two-day seminar. And did you take that online or take that live?
I took that online.
So what's it like online? I know what it's like live because I've given it, but what's it like online?
To me, it works with my learning style. I can't sit in a chair for long periods of time. I need to fidget and move. So it's just good to be able to get the knowledge and learn the way that is best for me. I can get a cup of, you know, get a drink while you're talking, take my computer with me to different rooms. So I like it online. You know, the missing is the networking and the face-to-face conversations, but I'm taking your class 4 times online.
Wow.
I think it's a great feature of this education program is to have the opportunity to take it online or in person. So to me, online learning fits me better.
But you miss my hugs.
I know.
Yeah, you miss the hugs. Come on, girl. So let's talk about, because it's difficult for me to teach online because I can't get the feedback. So let's talk about how do you get the feedback when you're watching it online? Do you feel the jokes? Do you feel the embracement? Do you feel the people going, oh my gosh, you know?
Yes, it does come across quite clearly. I've watched you, David Fisher, Chris Wyatt, and all three of you are able to convey across the screen. And having the chat run alongside the commentary for us that are watching online, that helps fill in the gaps of the community of, you know, oh wow, this is happening. And then you have your moderator in there that helps, you know, let us know what's going on, or if we missed something, he can put it on the screen. In fact, I think that's more beneficial for me than doing it in person because of being able to type out. It's like your moderator will come say, he just mentioned this vendor, or he'll, if your screen, a moment for a term that goes by, someone asks a question in the chat, the moderator can say, no, he was talking about after repair values, or this is what cap rate means. And so it gives us a great chance for delayed reaction people to have a catch up. So yes, and every time you give a hug, we do feel it. You know, I clap online, no one's hearing me. You know, I laugh at your jokes, roll my eyes for some of your jokes, you know, so it all comes through very clearly online.
As long as you roll your eyes, you've got the joke then. That's all that counts. So, as you're going through this thing, did you say four times or three times? How many times did you say?
4 times I've watched you.
Four times.
David Fisher once and Chris Wyatt once.
So, question. Let's go back to the first time. What were the aha moments that you got?
One was the hows. I know it's mentioned a lot of people come to you because they're inspired by the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book and giving us our whys and the motivation, but there's no how to accomplish this wealth building. So what was missing in my prior real estate, as I was saying, we had looked at rehabbing properties, but we didn't know how. So going to this education seminar and just walking through, these are the actual steps you do to take, you know, acquire a piece of real estate and how to look at it to see if it makes money. Once you find a deal that you think is going to work financially, this is the steps that you need to take to build your team. This is what you should look for in your team. All the little nuts and bolts that are missing in a lot of the education out there. You know, they'll talk about the big, broad concepts. We'll even go through some of the math to make it work, but they don't really tell you, okay, they really shit on the world. This is what you do. When I came to the training, the aha moment was like, oh, this is how you find the vendors. This is how what you should look like in the vendors. You know, these are the components when you're looking at a house that are the most important. So that was great. And both for a single family and a multifamily purchase, that's what the 2-day was great for me. It was filling in the how we do this, not just this is what you should do, but how we should do it.
So I'm going to ask you just a strange question, just as for my own edification, and that is, David Fisher watched me 16 times before he gave his first seminar, and he copied mine. And at one point, his seminar was word for word mine, but stuff I had stopped saying. In other words, he had copied stuff I'd stopped doing. Then Chris learned his seminar from David, so he copied David. You watching it from the outside, did you see any similarities between the three?
Very much. All the core material is there. The jokes just got tamer. I think David went bigger on the jokes, and Chris was a little quieter on the humor. So that's their personalities, I guess. But the core information was the same in general. You know, there are some nuances of how different approaches to how involved you want to get in the process. In the passive multifamily, you're actually all on point for the passive multifamily approach. Single family, I found some differences in how you guys teach it.
Okay. So as you're going through this and you're learning this, you said that you wanted to do more single family. I mean, that's what's in your resume here, by the way. You focused on the single family. What drew you to the single family more?
Well, I jumped in. I'm one of those people that you said, you know, you can't do anything unless you take action. So just to stay my story, I reconnected my friend like on a Monday, went to the case study on a Thursday. She invited me to a potluck that she happened to be hosting for Lifestyles on the Friday, went to the joined that night after the potluck because I wasn't even a member yet at that potluck, and then went to the 2-day seminar on the Saturday and Sunday and joined Lifestyles. And that fall, I got into 3 multifamily deals. It was 2023, and I was just looking at the potential returns for those 3 deals, and I was thinking, you know, my goal is cash flow. I didn't think I was going to get the cash flow built as quickly through multifamily. So that Christmas break, I started looking, doing all the single family training. And that January, I started looking for single family homes because the monthly cash flow is just more, met my goals. And that's why I love single family, because I control my monthly cash flow. I'm not waiting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that 1,000%. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with April Ogren and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is April Ogren from Round Rock, Texas. And April did 3 passive deals, and then she went and started doing single-family deals. And she's had great success in the single family deals. April, you want to tell us about your single family deals? I mean, how many of them have you done so far?
I've bought 6 properties this year. And
wow.
The saying is, you know, when you get one, you just can't stop at one. They're like Pringles, you can't just eat one. The first one I found on a single family road trip that Lifestyles organizes down in San Antonio. We were down visiting property and looking it over, and driving down from Austin, I'm like, are we only just seeing one house? And so I talked to the Lifestyles realtor and said, oh no, I have another property that we're putting on the market. And we went and toured this with a few other investors that are interested. It was down at the Studs, and we're walking through it, and I was listening to some commentary from other members like, oh, this should be easy because you can see all the problems. And the realtor asked, who's interested in this one? So I shot my hand up. It's like, I am. And it's like, your first tag. So I got the opportunity to look at that deal, and that was my first house. So we built it back from the Studs, and I have a tenant in there, a resident who moved in June, and it's been working well ever since. And I moved on, acquired a few more after that. 2 of my houses have already been on case study. I had a 4-plex that I did a case study on in an Austin case study, and then my 3rd purchase I just recently did the August case study on. So pretty happy with the education and letting me know how to get into these investments.
So the first one was in January of 24. The second one's interesting to me. That one, you made some money on the first one, but the second one's really looked interesting on West Summit. Looks like you made equity capture of $55,972. That's quite a bit. Cash flow of $98.40 a year. Tell us about that one. That one looks really profitable.
That is a fourplex, and it was fully occupied at the time. So it was almost like a mini multifamily deal, because even though it's classified as single family, and so it's evaluated on the market rates, it's like dealing with a small apartment complex. So I had four tenants, some of them have been there since 2007. And the building needed some interior work done, but I had residents living there, so I was going to put that off. So I did the exterior renovations and got it refinanced, and it's a stable property. So it's one of my best performing properties. I do advise anyone taking over a property that has current tenants to really look at their leases, make sure that what they're doing beforehand matches with what your goals are for the property now, because this is my weak point for properties. I love having tenants already in there because I already had instant cash flow.
Oh boy, that's funny. So I'm going to take you a step back and then we'll come back to where we're at. And that is, all right, so you get divorced and you have to start supporting yourself again. And then you start doing real estate. So what do you do for cash flow? Because that's $2,400 a month right there. That's an incredible cash flow deal. That's really nice. $55,000 captured equity, $98.40 a year. The other one has got cash flow of $2,340. I get an $1,896. I see this all adds up to where it's a livable amount of money. What did you do to survive until you got to all these deals?
I had to go back to work full time. So I had put myself on the market, and I have a W-2 job. I work remotely, which makes it very easy for me to do both activities at the same time. So that is paying for my day-to-day expenses. I am using the proceeds from the separation of the marriage house assets to be my investment seed capital for this real estate. So that's what's funding the real estate purchases. My W-2 job is my day-to-day expenses. And I'm hoping to retire in 4 years, maybe 3 years, to replace my W-2 job's expenses so I can just, you know, live a lifestyle. And I've been a member for a little over a year, and the cash flow that I produce has allowed me to go on a few nice vacations this past year. It's going to, do my vacations.
Uh-oh, vacations, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The lifestyle that I'm building for.
Well, it says here on your resume you did 10 total units with an annual cash flow of $29,544 with equity capture of $163,000. That's pretty good. And this was all done during 2024. So in 1 year period of time, you did that much.
Yes.
That's amazing. That really is a great story. $29,544 a year in cash flow is really amazing. The equity capture, $163,000. That has to help too, huh? Does that allow you to keep growing your investments?
When I get to the point where I can refinance it and do cash outs, yes. So what's helping me grow my investments is not spending my cash flow on vacations and reinvesting it in new houses. but it's just allowed a good peace of mind. The whole theory of chunking to your retirement is what is happening here. So every time I add a new property and I get that cash flow payment, it's just paying off one more expense of mine. So that is, one bill at a time I'm paying down through my real estate investments.
That's an interesting concept, because it's something I created way back when I was 34 years old, the concept of chunking. I want to see if you're as perverse about it as I was. I actually took houses and named them. You're my car payment. you're my mortgage payment. I actually named different houses. This payment covers this. This payment covers that. Did you do that, or you just in theory understood the concept of chunking?
In theory, I understood the concept of chunking. Though I am looking at for the next property for that will pay the mortgage in one go. Yeah, but, yeah, I haven't named them, but I know what their purpose is.
I know, I'm a little weird. It's way back then I was even weirder, so I'm getting old. That's great. So are you still buying houses? You still working at that? I mean, this is all in 24. You did all this in 1 year. I can't believe that.
Yeah, I bought all of them in 10 months. So that's and my last property is my first out-of-state property. So for people who are wondering where these houses are, I live in Austin. The first five properties are in San Antonio. I manage them myself remotely. And then my sixth property I bought outside of Kansas City. So that is my truly remote property that I'm owning up there.
And that one had $32,000 worth of equity capture. That's amazing.
Yes. Actually, and, it got better because I'm going through a refinance and the ARV came back even higher. So I've increased my equity capture another $15,000 on top of it.
Whoa, that's amazing. That's what makes this seem so interesting is that when you do this, it's not like the stock market where you save for your entire life to hope you end up with enough money you can retire on. You're actually seeing it happen right before your eyes, which is amazing. So that brings your total to almost $200,000 then for equity capture. What do you see your future as? It says here that you have 10 houses that you think 20 is going to be the number that's going to allow you to retire. Is that what you're thinking?
20 doors, a single family.
As you see that, how do you focus on that? What is that telling you about life? You're going to get there?
Yes. It's not if, it's when and how. So my conundrum now is because I have the single family bug, but I'm also spread across, you know, six different locations. And so I am actually looking to do the next step in David Fisher's sequence is when you get four houses, you upgrade to an apartment. So I'm looking to find a small 6 to 12 unit multifamily that I can IRO. So I'm currently working through the vendors and the mentors to set myself up to be on the hunt to look for that opportunity so I can take advantage of having economies of scales and everything in one place.
Yeah, if you could do that, if you get a small multifamily, you could probably knock all the rest of what you need out in one location, huh?
Yep. And not have to provide so many pieces of paper to the refinance companies for all the properties that I have. So I find that's the most drawback of having many different properties is that when you go to refinance them, the banks ask for every freaking HUD closing statement that you've ever had. So, you know, cut down on that paperwork, I'd be happy.
They don't understand all that. Yeah, it is really funny. I remember closing on single family houses with people, myself included. And you go there and there was a pile of paperwork that was maybe an eighth inch thick, you know, 50 pages. Mm-hmm. And then I remember going to an apartment complex and it was a closing statement and two other things, you know, as is, where is, and deed and note. And that was it. It was like four pieces of paper. I thought, why can I buy 100 units and it's four pieces of paper and I buy a house and it's 50 pieces of paper? You know, it just didn't make any sense. But there's so much more protection for buying single family houses. As you're out there now, I don't know if you have friends, relatives, anybody you speak to about this. Anybody ask you what you're doing?
Tons. In fact, I had family members refer other friends of theirs that say, oh, my sister-in-law is doing this, you know, give her a call. So I've talked to a lot of different people about what I'm doing. And one of the things about Lifestyles as a organization is that we're really open. When they say that, you know, talk to a Lifestyles member and they're happy to open up their books and show what the numbers are, it's fun to actually talk like, yeah, you know, here's, you know, my numbers, what I've, you know, bought it for, this is what the market thinks it's going to be, these are, you know, my cash flow rents. And so being able to talk specifics with people with not having that lack mentality, it's like, oh, if I share these details then they're going to steal it from me. It's refreshing to be in an environment where, yes, it's great to share. The more you share, the more abundance. And so I've had several people come up to me. I've given out the vouchers to come join the program to a few people. So sat down and have coffee with, in fact, some of the people of my friend group that I sat down with coffee had actually joined Lifestyles. And so it's been great to help them with their goals in retiring, and I'm happy to talk about it all day long. As they say, you know, when you join Lifestyles, you tend to find your people. So
yeah,
it's great to bring more people to the other people I found.
So how do you wrap your arms around the concept that people will work for 40 years and still not have enough money to retire, and we're talking about retiring in 2 to 5 years? How do you explain that to people?
Well, I show them my path, basically. I want to walk the examples. And it's like, yeah, I just joined the workforce back in 2023, and I'm not going to stay very long in it because I'm going to use real estate to retire myself, and they're seeing it. So lead by example. That's all I can say. And that's the best way to people to get their head around it, because then they say, oh, I know someone who did that. You know, they know me.
I'm going to share something with you. It's pretty interesting. I've had women that have joined while they were married, got divorced, became real estate retired, and then years later, their husbands go, yeah, my wife joined. I think I'm going to come in now. You know, and they were the ones who were saying, no, don't do it. It's, you know, it's not going to work and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they see their wife is, you know, did it. So what about your family? What does your family think about this?
My kids think it's great, and they all roll their eyes like, oh, Mom got another property. And it says, wait, this is what's coming your way. And it's like, so when I go, you guys are inheriting business. Like, so you better know how to manage it. But my, you know, my brothers and other relatives are like, oh, April, the real estate mogul. So they kind of chuckle, but when they see that I am out living my lifestyle, I was in the workforce a very short time to help, you know, make it through until I'm real estate retired, then they'll like, oh, there must be something to this.
So, yeah, 5 or 10 years from now, they'll be crazy about it. It's just a matter of time.
Exactly.
Right? So what's your long-term goal?
Long-term goal is, well, I don't know. I like being involved, so I don't know if I'm going to truly turn into a passive investor, you know, but I think I will move my portfolio more to passive. But I probably always will have something, maybe a small complex, so I can stay in the game. It keeps, you know, it's good to be busy, to be educated. But just travel more. I'm in the middle of writing a book, so having the lifestyle that I can stay home and fits with my computer and writing my stories and not to worry about going the day-to-day, showing up at the office, that would be a great goal. But love traveling. I have family all over the world, so it would be great to just pop in and see them and not have to worry about schedules. In fact, the only thing that's holding me back now is my daughter doesn't want to go back to homeschooling, so I'm pinned down to the school calendar schedule. But as soon as I'm, you know, don't have a school calendar to worry about, you know, be more free to travel, see my kids.
Absolutely. Well, April, thanks for coming on and sharing your story with us. It's an incredible story. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just the money. It's the quality of lifestyle. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.